And we're back. This is the 80s, 90s, 2000s vibes podcast. I'm your host, Matt Corbin. As usual with the fellas, we got Jamal, we got Leboy. Fellas,
Yeah.
how y'all feeling this week?
Man. I'm energized. I'm feeling energized. Get that energy up, fellas. We out here. We got 2000 vibes. Let's go. Am I loud?
Hey.
Look, let me turn my shit down.
Nah,
What's
you
good with
good.
y'all,
You
though, man?
good. You good, man. Another day, another dollar, man. Hey, man. Before we get into it, and before we let Lee Boy cook, join our broadcast channel, man. We got that thing popping on the Instagram page, man. I just started it like a couple hours ago, and it's already 1,000 members, man. Hey, man, y'all joining us? It's fun. You know what I'm saying? So if you follow us on Instagram, join the broadcast channel, chat with us, debate with us, leave voice
Oh
messages.
yeah, that's where they be like you could get in. It's like in the DM, right? And
Yeah,
they be
yeah, yeah,
giving you
yeah.
updates and okay, and we can really converse with the fans. That's what's up. That's what's up. Yeah, get
Yeah.
up in there, y'all. Talk some
Hey,
shit.
yeah,
Definitely.
I energize admins and if y'all, I think y'all gotta accept it. But it's another way for us to promote our episodes. You can drop links in the hey, bro. So yeah, if y'all rock with us, do that for us, man.
No,
You
that's
dig?
strong because I be wanting to, inundate the crowd with, hey, go check out the pod. But that's a good way to get connected right with the people that really want to see it. So make sure if you go in there, go tell someone else that will like our content because, yeah, we rocking and rolling all 24. In fact, this episode 124. Let's go.
Hey, let's get into it, man. Let's have some fun, bro.
Oh, yeah. And, I actually got something real quick and light. Real quick
Something
and
like
light this week, you know what I'm saying? I got to tell you about something that irritates me on this episode 124. It's all you Kobe fans masquerading as Laker fans. I know this one's a little personal because I'm a Laker fan, but I am tired of people coming up talking about, oh, LeBron ain't done this, LeBron ain't did this, and comparing them to Jordan and all this. And we know you what you why you doing it. We know why you doing it. You just mad because Kobe ain't here no more. God bless the dead. Rest in peace. You mad because you think that Kobe and LeBron somehow had some secret beef. They was cool. They was friends. They was in the Nike ass together. You seen Kobe right there courtside at the LeBron games before his unfortunate demise. So stop acting like, oh man, LeBron, he don't know how to play. LeBron, he ain't as good as Kobe ever was. Do you know what Kobe, and look, I'm trying not to make this about him and Jordan. Let's throw Jordan in there too. Do you know what they was doing? And they Jordan didn't even make it to his 20th season. Do you know what their numbers was like? Do you know what the record was like for these teams in comparison to what we see in LeBron still doing to this day? Y'all need to stop with the LeBron slander and just spread the love, y'all. Spread the love amongst our NBA legends and stop all the hate. So, like I was saying, I am tired of you Kobe fans masquerading as Laker fans. This is the 80s, 90s, 2000 Vibes podcast. Have a nice day. And this all stemmed from a Instagram post. I can't even name the fella. But he was like, man, I wish I would rather have LeBron only have three championships than the Lakers to have 17 championships because we didn't really need it. And the bubble one don't count. What you mean it don't count? Get the hell up out of here,
Man,
man.
hey, I get so sick of people with that shit. You've heard star players say that bubble one was hard. That bubble playing in the bubble was extremely hard. Like, who the fuck are people to tell people what count and what don't count? Man, if you don't go clock in somewhere. I feel like the whole world at that time was playing on the same, same slide as everybody was like, oh, the pandemic. It was a pandemic for everybody. You know what I mean? That's exactly why it still counts. Exactly, We all bro. died, unfortunately. Like, it was what it was.
Now, the
People so
only
full of
argument
shit.
I will accept is that LeBron got some extra rest, as did everyone else. So really, it's even. But he did need that extra, couple months. Probably did help, probably helped him out a bit.
Rest, so it is what it is.
Yeah, but we still whooped on the Miami Heat. You know what I'm saying? It was a formidable opponent. It's not like we just beat up on chopped liver. So man, just stop with the LeBron. Hey, I'm sick of it, man. And just
Man, y'all
come on, Bronny. Come on over to the South Bay Lakers, man. We'll move you up
South
midseason. Yeah,
the
we'll move you up midseason. We're gonna go ahead and draft Bronny. Keep LeBron in LA as well. Let's go.
Man, y'all already know how I feel about Jimmy Butler. So,
Yeah,
bro,
wait.
that bro get his heart pumping normally again for a year before. You know what I mean? Can bro, sheesh.
Right, Bronny, yeah.
Sheesh.
They hate no Bronny. But if you brought up Jimmy Butler, y'all see him in a was that a Fallout Boy commercial? Y'all see this yet? Yeah.
2K missions at this point. Like, I think he's doing more than
Yeah.
I have.
Yeah,
He
I think he
be
was.
trying to be so fucking different, and that's why his ass only got a career average of what?
Well, he scored like 16 points, something like that.
I've never been big on Jimmy Butler. I just haven't, bro. And he cool. I would love to have him as a teammate.
Now, yeah, he a good second, third option now.
Defense. That's my point. That's exactly my point. If Jim Butler was on the Heat, they would be had a best record in the West. I mean, on the Lakers, they would have a best record in the West.
There you go.
That's the best, though. You got LeBron and AD on top of that. That's just how I feel, man. I stand on business. I stand on it.
Put that blowout away, man. Yeah, I think he got a blowout in his new music video, but it is what it is.
Jamal, I'm happy you said that, though. Talking about standing on business. Speaking of Cam Newton, fellas, over the weekend, this past Sunday, to be specific. Now, Cam Newton throws on the 7-on-7 youth football tournament, I believe, every year. Dope for the community, all that good stuff. And as usual, he was talking trash on the sidelines. They said, as most football players do, apparently the trash talk got a little bit too hot to handle. And the video that pretty much went viral on social media contained Cam Newton ragdolling these guys. And I was a little confused because it was like, you know what I mean? To get ragdolled when you're supposed to be jumping somebody allegedly is crazy. There were conflicting reports coming out saying that Cam Newton pretty much egged them on. So, fellas, overall, egged on or not, what is your take on Cam Newton being attacked and him, the way he handled this situation? Talk to me.
Yeah, I mean, I heard it got to some money talk. And that might have hurt somebody's feelings. And I heard he was, you know, people even said that he's the first person that grabbed someone and dragged the kid and then they all jump. I'm not sure about that part, but you know, this is hate. This is big hate. You at his camp, you at his establishment. It should be the utmost respect for formal NFL legend. And so, I mean, this started from years ago. I think it was a couple years back. We seen the disrespect. You ain't signed. You a free agent. And you ain't an agent of nothing, young man. You don't have an agent. You, in fact, your services are just free. That's it. Like, so, Cam Newton disrespect, it has to stop. It has to stop. Yes. Not everybody is entitled to a championship in the hardest league in the world, the NFL, to really make it past the promised land. And you know, I think he did more than his part on the teams that he was on. So there's just got to be more respect for not only our NFL legends, but just our Black legends, our Black icons that's trying to come back to the community and spread love and spread their expertise and really be an example. Because I do think he is doing that. Obviously, he has a little trash talk in the system. He got some dog. And I mean, this is Atlanta. So he gonna bark back. But to take it to the point of violence in front of the kids, I think it's sad, bro. It's sad.
Hey, Cam Newton better than me because fuck them kids. How the fuck? Little nigga. How the fuck? You gonna come to my camp?
You at my camp, yeah.
And put your hands on me.
Man.
I am an all-pro NFL player. I've made it to Super Bowl. I've won MVP of the NFL. I have multiple winning seasons, multiple Pro Bowls, multiple All-Pros, won a Heisman in college and a national championship in college. People forget about that. You know how I know? Because I'm a fucking LSU fan, and I had to deal with that nigga that year, bro. I swear to God, he arguably had the greatest season in college football history. I'll put that up against a Tim Tebow season. I'll put it against Joe Burrow's season. It's one of those seasons, bro. That Auburn team wasn't fucking good without him.
Not at all.
We would have blew their ass out that year if they didn't have him. He literally beat us by himself. Bro, people forget about the college on top of the NFL career. Look, bro, how the fuck you go to a future Hall of Fame NFL camp and disrespect put your Cam Newton talk? That's what Cam Newton do. And you know what I think it is with us, with Black people, bro? Love Cam podcast, by the way. Cam looks like us. He talks like us. He sounds like us. So I think they can talk to him any kind of way. Because as we see, Cam Newton will come up to you, chat with you, talk shit with you. Cam Newton not bougie. He'll come interact with you at his camps. He don't mind a little trash talk. He'll talk back with you. But that's Cam, bro. That's who he is. At the end of the day, you at his camp to get better. Man, if I was him, ain't no more Cam, bitch. Good luck, my nigga. Get to the NFL by yourself, dog. Maybe your mom and your daddy go in the backyard, throw the football with you. I don't give a fuck. I don't need you. You need me. This is ridiculous, bro. Stop. That pissed me off, son. That really pissed me off. Hi, man, get the fuck. Fuck you, little fucking kids, bro. That's all I'm going to say. Fucking kids.
Now, I just want to throw this out here, too, because, like, to Jamar's point, it's confusing because, one, obviously, like you said, you know, you obviously wanted to be here, right? So you probably were a fan of Cam Newton. Like, exposure aside, you wanted to be here, like you said, so you should kind of know his personality. But, two, I'm a little shocked because I just feel like no matter what the situation entails, to look at Cam Newton, whoever those guys were, because, you know, people joked on social media, bro's hat didn't move. It was just like, yeah, play with him if you want to, because I feel like they lucky he didn't throw no hands, because, like, he could have killed one of them by accident.
You know? Bro, see, he's 6'5", 260, bro. Like, linebackers had a hard time getting him down.
That's like Mike Tyson weight, but, you know what I mean, add some, you know, reach and all that in there. So it's just like one of those things, like I said, I feel like he was – it was tame. Like Lee Boy said, it's a shame, you know, that it had to happen at a youth event. But I feel like he handled this very tame because, like, think about it. The police would have kicked your ass. We know that. Like, you know what I mean? Right. Can't, the police would be to you. So I'm not mad at him for that. But, yeah, as far as the players goes, like, yeah, come here to play football because at the end of the day, yeah, like Lee Boy said, y'all don't have no agents. Nobody's really looking for y'all until you come sometimes to these camps and then you come here and do something like this. It's like, we don't even remember y'all names. All I remember is one of y'all was, you know, choked up against the gate. You look crazy. Because, yeah, I mean, I'm looking like, man, you're
bro,
a black person, whatever.
Motherfucker, you a high school receiver who can't even beat press coverage against a high school corner. So you expect to do something with 6'5", 260 Cam Newton? Man,
and look, this is what I always come on here and preach. When people, instead of getting together and taking advantage of opportunities, we find a way to mess it. You at the camp. You at the camp with an NFL player. Why don't you get up under that man and respect him and get up under his tutelage and have him be a mentor to you, bro? Why are you choosing to have a foe out of Cam Newton, man? This is a former first overall pick. He ain't going to get a championship, man. He going to the worst team in the league. That's what happened.
I forgot he was the number one pick, too. Another accolade.
Yeah, that's another accolade. You would aspire to be a number one pick in the seventh round of the draft. You ain't getting to the first round, man. Otherwise, you wouldn't be fighting Cam Newton if you had those type of accolades or that type of ability behind you. You wouldn't be thinking like this, man. So I just hate to see people that, you know, once they have an example, they have an opportunity, they have a way out, it's right in front of you. And instead of taking advantage of it and joining forces and doing everything you can to really learn the best from the best, you just squander it all away for some feelings. And, you know, I think some of this might have been, I heard that these might have been friends. Some of them might have been friends of Cam Newton or coaches. And so it wasn't all kids. And it was just there's a backstory there. And they was just also hurt. You know what I'm saying? They might have been representing their kids. They might have had their kids at the camp or part of another team. Something going on there where they had some resentment towards Cam Newton. But either way, if y'all want to be coaches, y'all want to be in this NFL game, y'all want to be invited to the next camp. Now you just cut off. Come on,
nah,
man.
Fuck that.
Gotta do better.
All of a sudden, y'all see a bunch of trucks backing up to the football fields and shit. Yeah, I'd be like, well, what the fuck going on? That's me telling, hey, pack it up. this camp, let me see the mic, bro. Get a bullhorn, whatever. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Thank y'all for coming out to the 10th annual Cam New Cammy Cam Love the Kids football camp. Unfortunately, camp has been shut down permanently. Thank you for coming out. Drive safe. And I'm not doing no more camps. Shannon Sharp said, man, it couldn't be me. I'm not doing that shit no more. I don't need this. He doing it from the bottom of his heart. Because Cam used to always say, Cam love the kids. I don't do
this stuff. And I'm like, at the end of the day, y'all say that, but if that's the case, then go ask all your favorite athletes. Yeah, why you ain't doing a tournament in my hood? They gonna look at you like, who the fuck are you? You know what I mean?
Fuck them kids, you ungrateful little fuckers. Y'all some ungrateful little fuckers, man.
You're gonna make a wish, kid. Do not send your favorite athlete nothing. Or if you're 5,000 miles and, you know what I mean, you live in a village and you just, you know, you like NBA, you gotta have a whole story. They don't care about you.
And man. I love Kids from the Hood because I have had a couple, you know, going back to the hood and giving back to the community moments. And I did get a bunch of, who's you? I, you ain't even famous. So, hey, this is not a surprise. And they be asking, you know, they be asking, why don't you never come back to the hood? And why don't y'all support it? This is why. This is why. This is what you get as a black celebrity going back to try to support your community. A lot of times it's what you get, and it's not to discourage us from trying, but you know, maybe we gotta do it for the grateful kids, right? We gotta find a way to weed out the ungrateful kids, or they gotta pay a fee. Y'all gotta pay or something. Cause if y'all wanna come in here, then maybe you'll see the true value if you have to pay for the access. But that's the only thing I could think of. Cause it just, you don't wanna tell people don't go back. But if this is what you get, what, I mean, what you gonna do?
Ungrateful little bastards, man. Fuck y'all.
Kids is ungrateful. That should be funny. And I respect Cam Newton for being able to, you know, go back and forth and not take it to heart and really still put himself out there. But when it comes to physical violence, goddamn, it's like I try. And you know, I didn't got through all the shit talk and the disrespect, and now I gotta be assaulted. And y'all touched my hat, the little the Wicked Witch of the West hat. Man, if y'all don't leave my house,
they hit that nigga with the bullshit. You, Mr. Jones. I want Xbox with all the games. Man, fuck that. I'm not doing no more.
Why we still on it? Because Jamal, you mentioned something. You were saying, you know, some people feel like they could talk to Cam, you know, pretty much like us because he is like us. It's like, you know, that part.
He talked just like us, bro. He acts right. Just like, he look like us.
But the issue, right, with that, especially when it gets physical people, you don't know, like, some of these people, let's say, God forbid, you know, Cam Newton was a black belt, right? And now, you know, he kicked you in your esophagus or whatever, by accident, right? My point is, like, you don't know what people's reaction is going to be. Like, he may look, quote-unquote, he may even be from the same areas, but what if he was a personal year? He had been bullied or whatever the case is, don't nobody know, he just snapped. Yeah, I mean, it just broke out into a hole, and now people look like, oh, he's crazy. It's like, is he, or did somebody, you know what I mean, attack him, and he acted like any one of us would have. So I just think the whole situation here, as far as the kids, yeah, y'all asses don't go back. I ain't gonna lie.
And all seriousness, unfortunately, man, the good would have to suffer for the bad. Because all them kids not like them, man. I'm pretty sure there's a bunch of grateful players there, man. Happy to be there. But you got your little ignorant, little stupid fuckers. We're going to fuck it up for the rest of them. I'm sorry, man. Camp over. Cam is officially closed. It's closed.
And y'all owe me a hat, too. Actually, no, the hat good. The hat good. But, yeah. Hey, them hats. What y'all think about them hats, man, before we move on? different, huh?
Cam always been different, bro. Cam
vibes. I'm for it, though.
Yeah,
man. Little Jerome got me fucked up. Yeah. Shout out to Cam, man.
Shout out to Cam, man. Come through to the pod, man. We would love to have you on here. Talk some shit about we need to hear that Purdy slander on the 80s, 90s, 2000 vibe podcast. You know it's Cowboys all day, but
hey.
Hill Purdy.
fellas, yeah. But speaking of, I guess the hate continued this week. Moving on to Michael Jordan, the Michael Jordan hate tour. Officially, I believe it kicked off in Australia. And to tell you guys more specifically what we're talking about, if you guys remember 2020 during the pandemic, you had Last Dance documentary documented 90s.
Hold on. My bad, I ain't made control. That's what we doing next?
Yeah,
that's what we had next. What you had next?
Oh, man, I'm tripping. My bad. My bad, brother.
Looking at last week or something. Yeah,
thanks. My bad, man. Continue.
In 2020, back during the pandemic, you had the 1990s Last Dance documentary that was covering the dynasty for the Bulls, and now you have Luke Longley, you have Scottie Pippen, and I believe the third person that is joining that is Horace Grant, and their tour is called the No Bull Tour, where they're pretty much going to take on what it was like to be with Jordan, because they feel like, you know, Jordan romanticized himself and this, that, and the third. So, fellas, what is your take on this, especially considering this is now going to be about 4 years later?
Heard Mr. Michael Jordan, the argument, the GOAT, right? I heard the only reason why he dropped the Last Dance doc is after LeBron came back 3-1 against Golden State, and Mr. Ballhead ass was feeling a little insecure. Because after that 3-1 comeback, everybody was like, man, this got to make LeBron a GOAT. I heard that's why only reason why he did that, bro, in the first place. Second of all, bro, look, man, most great players are assholes, bro. And I'm pretty sure some things he did that was uncalled for, but and I can't believe I'm defending Jordan, bro. Because at the end of the day, if they lose, everything will be blamed on him. So, man, y'all niggas get over it. Either you gonna do what it takes to be a champion or not, bro. So I heard Gibbon Wing talking about ring culture. That's what comes with ring culture, bro, if you're not a superstar. I'm sorry, bro, but no bulls. What is called
the no bull?
No
tour.
Bull tour.
That's creative. I like that. I want to hit this. I want to hit them and get that hate off because I'm pretty sure they're gonna be telling the truth. But nobody don't give a fuck because again, it's Michael Jordan. So whatever. I'm gonna tune in.
My thing is the truth only goes so far. As far as we know, Jordan won. We know he was told by his own words. You know, I was tough, but you know that's who I was. If you don't like playing with it, cut. Yeah, we saw LaCroix. We saw it. So my thing is, I feel like, what else are y'all going to say? Oh, Jordan smacked my son at practice, too? Like, what are we going to hear on this
tour? That's your fault for letting him slap you and you not do nothing about it. That's what it's really about. You slapped me, he slapped you, and you ain't do nothing. And you still feel some type of way about it. Man, Jordan not slapping me and getting away with it, bro. They going to have to trade me, big son. that's all it is, bro. My bad. Go ahead.
I mean, as far as the no bull tour, great marketing, and I think Thanks. This is gonna, I think it's gonna be a great selling tour. Obviously, people want to see, they want to hear about Jordan, so I think there's definitely room for it. You know, but I feel like this is gonna be similar to like me participating in Quiet on the Set. It's like, okay, as a lot of reasons or in a lot of ways, I, you know, owe some of my success to Nickelodeon. I want to feel some gratitude, but at the same time, it was some bullshit going on. You know what I'm saying? It was some bull. But if there's a fine line where, you know, you're going to be disrespectful to don't bite the hand that feeds you. I got it right this time, right? Last week, it was some bullshit. It was some bullshit. But at the same time, you want to be able to keep it real and tell your story. So I just wonder where they think, you know, they would be without the Bulls and without the leadership of Michael Jordan and how they could really fix their mouths to talk about one of the greatest of all time. You know, so I want to see exactly what they're going to say, how they do this without Jordan and you know, the level of disrespect that they're going to be sending Jordan's way will be very interesting. I know Scotty got some shit to get off his chest. I know Scotty is hot right now and he deserved to be on the tour, but Horace Grant and Luke Longley,
Luke Longley.
I thought you said lukewarm at first. What would Luke Longley be doing without Jordan, man? Come on, bro. Like, I mean, he was nice though. Them brothers was all nice, so shout out to them. But I want to go. If it's in my city, they come around here. I want to see what they're gonna say live and direct, or we're gonna watch it. I bet you this is gonna be a whole documentary.
They better not go to Chicago. They might not come back. They be gonna turn into Chiraq.
Some people ain't going to tolerate the disrespect of Jordan, man. But, you know, it kind of comes with the territory of being one of the greatest. You got to expect that people going to have they stories. And which y'all think Pippen is really – y'all think he should be considered one of the greatest as well?
Fuck no.
I think he should. I think it's sad, though, that he's tearing his legacy apart in the eyes of so many. Because even recently –
Man, what is it about you giving grace to these okay but not great players, man?
Pippen
and Jimmy Butler. Like what Cat Williams told Shannon Sharpe, he said you have an unnatural allegiance to losers. It's not like you, dog. It's not like you. No, son. I'm sorry. He was a great role play, a great second option. Right. In the NBA, in my opinion, in the NBA, he would be a third option in the NBA. No, in today's NBA, he wouldn't be good enough. If he's the second best player in today's NBA, then y'all not winning no fucking championship.
Now, where the disrespect is, though, his contracts. Well, he was getting paid $1 million a year. Now, that shit was disrespect. And Jordan over here getting 33. Come on, God. You can't shoot a brother 5, 10.
I mean, they played off his desperation because, you know, he was from Arkansas. And I don't know if y'all ever been there, but it's
poor. Yeah.
That's different poverty. Like,
bro, nah, fuck that. I'm from a small city with 100,000 people. I don't give a bitch. I'm a 1 million. What? You from Lake Charles. I don't give a fuck about from Charles Lake. Nigga, I'm not taking no. Bro, trade me, son.
Yeah, I swear to God,
I would be the most unloyal player in the NBA, and I don't give a damn about no fan base cursing me out, booing me, man. Kiss my ass. This is not personal.
That shows how much he actually really did need Jordan, because he couldn't even leave for the money. Like, is he going to give me a mil?
Yeah, I mean, when this guy to get his sneaker? Because his sneaker was selling well, no?
Well, no, that's what saved him. That's the only reason why he's financially okay, why he's doing decent. And so the Nike contract, and I'm sure he has some other endorsements and, you know, other things that he got off the back of Jordan in the book. I'm sure. And being a six-time champion, you know, I'm sure that he had other opportunities, but he knows he was getting dicked. He's getting screwed. He was getting fucked. All of them. All the inappropriates. All by the Bulls. And Jordan just sitting there laughing like, hey, we about to win another championship. He couldn't have done it. That's the MVP. That's the MVP of the league, is that contract with Pippen. That's like having Anthony Davis. He making a million, and then we can go sign all these other, like Rodman and everybody else, because we got one of the best players in the league on a bullshit contract, man. His fault.
Let me ask y'all this. Would y'all rather have James Harden's career or Derek Fisher's?
Honestly?
Yeah. James Harden?
I'm going James Harden.
Big facts. Fucking rings, my nigga.
Yeah.
You made $1 million a year, and that's great for me. Like, that'll change my life. For you, not so much, bro. Not so much, bro. Hey, it's no fucking way I'm Derek Fisher averaging 7 points a game throughout my career, and at least I got 5 rings. Man, you can't eat them 5 rings, bro. So fuck.
And Gilbert, James, you could just buy them. Gilbert would be like, yeah, I got a late ring from the Warriors when they won the championship. You could just order it.
Yeah, I got one too, yeah. I mean, and, you know, obviously you would want the balance, right? You would want to have James Harden career with one ring. Hopefully he can get his ass one. But ultimately, yeah, I'm taking the money. None of the rings really don't, you know, especially in a team game. So I think that makes all the differences. You can't do everything by yourself anyway. So it's like, I don't expect, you know, I can't measure my career just based on having a ring, because there's people like Robert Horry that have 7 rings. Is he better than Jordan? No. Is Bill Russell better than Shaq? I don't think so. He got 11 rings, but he was playing when the Celtics was basically in a league all by themselves. So
it's not just about
rings.
He was the coach and the player and on the team. Like, what the fuck? Let me draw up a play for myself. Like, what? I
think this is going to work.
He earned them. They was winning, though. That's what's crazy. He was going up against Will.
He was only going up against Will. Everybody else was 5'10".
Yeah. It was only about 15 teams at the time. And it was basically, he was a shoe-in to the playoffs every year. And,
Yeah, I got 5. Hey, man, I'm broke as fuck, but at least I got 5 rings, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, I might cut a piece of that ring and put in and make a salad with it. Man, fuck out of here. I'll pawn the shit out of the rings.
That's Pippen's life.
Big polo. We had a ring.
Man, Tim Duncan white on the inside, man. Be clear
yeah,
on the inside, bro.
Hey, and then I don't want to get into. I just got jogged my memory about some Tim Duncan slander. Y'all heard what his wife said about him? That she was his beard. I don't even want to get into it.
She said that
he was in a gay relationship and she was the beard for him the whole time or something. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to
lawsuit. So you got me fucked up. Get your shit off. Get your little 5 minutes of fame. Big Sue,
I don't know nothing about that. Shout out to Tim Duncan.
Yeah, sue her, Tim. Sue her. I don't care how much money she got.
As far as pimping, though, Pippen, because he was getting pimped. Pippen and this damn Bulls tour. I just hope his legacy doesn't just continue this way. He just hops on TV every 2 months he get on and say LeBron better. Like, just to say some shit.
All over the place.
Man, you was following behind Jordan for 10, 20 years. So all we got to say to you is Jordan better than you, so that's about it. That's all I got.
Man. Then he went to Portland and tried to win with what I looked. He couldn't even look, bro. I'm gonna always be on Jordan, Kobe, LeBron side because from one jerk to another, I understand. Smush Parker still pressed because Kobe ain't talked to him. Man, nigga, Smush Parker gonna say that nigga Smush Parker say, oh man, he ain't asked me how my family was doing. Man, I don't want to put words in Kobe's mouth, bro. I don't think Kobe gave a fuck about how your family was doing, bro. This is a job. And you a bum. He don't talk to bums. You want Kobe to talk to you, dog? Get better. Stop being lazy. How about that? Because Kobe and Derek Fisher have a great relationship. Kobe and Lamar Odom had a great relationship. You know why? Because they put in work. And
Powell, too.
Yeah, Pop. But I say Derek Fisher because Derek Fisher and Rick Fox, they weren't superstars. So it's not that he only talk to superstars. He don't like lazy bums. So if he ain't talk to you or he treated you like shit, you deserve it. So I'm going to always be on the superstar side because they get all the blame, but they put in all the work.
And he on a little tour his damn self, right? I seen him on another podcast. He anybody that's going to listen, some Kobe slander. Man, that now, Smush, you better watch yourself, bro. Yeah, you better watch yourself. This ain't comparable, actually, because Jordan's still here. Jordan's still here, and people know Jordan is an asshole. People know Kobe's an asshole, too. But you messing with L.A., you messing with the Lakers, watch where you taking on that little message you got, bro.
Listen, defend himself. I think certain when it comes to certain people, they can't defend themselves. You leave it alone. But as far as Scotty, I hope to see some clips from the tour. I think it's going to be hilarious, but I'm not about to pay for no streaming service, so if it ain't one of the regulars I got in the rotation already, you can forget it.
Damn.
Shout out to them, man. They get a bag doing it. Hey, man, why not? You know what I'm saying? So.
They gonna get a bag. Exactly. They gonna get a bag.
But, fellas, moving on to something a little bit more serious, but definitely very important when it comes to the club, especially considering that we're doing the podcast, is Wendy Williams. Now, to those listening, if you were not familiar, Wendy Williams, there was recently a Lifetime documentary, four-parter, called Where is Wendy Williams, that released, and it was a raw and unfiltered look into the life of Wendy Williams. Obviously, now people know that she's suffering from dementia. Her son, different people throughout the documentary were mentioned. You know, you see Wendy Williams, her struggles with alcohol, things of that nature. And fellas, you know, without revealing as much, because I want y'all to give y'all takes, I want to know, what do you think of the documentary, number one? And two, do you feel that it's appropriate for it to come out?
Man, can I start with... social media. I'm gonna start with social media, right? Because I was listening to the Joe Budden podcast last week, and they were talking about karma and how people was like, "This is Wendy Williams' karma and shit," right? And they was like, "People are wrong." I'm gonna play devil's advocate right here, y'all. They're talking about people are wrong. You shouldn't wish it on nobody. This is not karma. Look, man. Personally. Am I happy this is going Wendy Williams going through this? No. I've never really had a big problem with Wendy Williams. I just looked at it as a woman, a pioneer, somebody who's doing their job. But it was point in times growing up, and I know y'all both know that Wendy Williams went maybe a little too far, revealed some stuff, lied on some people, didn't care. And as fucked up as this sound, you can't get mad for people being like, that's good for ass now, bro. It's just because this is the thing about karma, bro. And it's good karma, too. Karma is not always a bad thing. But you can't control when karma hit, and you can't control how it hit. Just because she's Wendy Williams, that don't mean what karma do y'all expect Wendy Williams to have? That's not how life works. She may not lose her job. That may not be her karma. Her karma may be her getting sick. Or karma, bro, people got this weird relationship with karma. Like, it's supposed to hit how they expect it to hit, when they expect it to hit. That's not how life works. So all I'm saying is to the people who saying that's good for Wendy, I can't really get mad at them. Do I feel that way? No. But it's people out there who don't give a fuck, and you can't really blame them, dog. I'm sorry. The doc was hard to watch, man. It's like her eyes about to pop out, bro. I hate seeing Wendy like that, bro. I only watched the first episode, but I don't think I want to watch no more, bro, because after the first one, I felt weird.
Yeah, so I binged this, like, as soon as I saw it came out, I was all over it, and then the second install, the second night came out. I don't know, what did it come out back to back? Because I seen all of it. Okay, because I was like, as soon as I was done with the first two, the second two popped out, and they had some kind of glitch going on where it might have been one long third one. But anyway, as far as the karma piece, I do want to touch on that because, as you said, you can't judge or you can't say how karma is going to get you back, and you can't judge people's reactions. So if somebody hits you in the face and then you get stabbed, you know what I'm saying?
You can't control how people respond.
You can't control the reaction after you wrong somebody. And I do believe, you know, it's hard to say now because we see the state that she's in, but I do believe she wronged a lot of people. She was the blogs for a lot of years, and people would have never known about a lot of these things if it wasn't for Wendy Williams and her tea and how you doing and all that bullshit. You know what I'm saying? And obviously it was entertaining. But she had been doing this on radio and exposing people for, you know, for personal reactions that she had. And I just believe there's some people would say there's a special place in hell and that, you know, she got what she deserved. I wouldn't go that far, but I just would say, you know, you made your bed, now laying in there. There she is laying in the bed. Vodka down, you know what I'm saying? Take it down, fist. They said she had a club. What she said? They had the party bottle. That's the big one. Y'all know the big joint. She done took that down in the day. She had the oath of the $60 goose, whatever that one is. You know, and it's just unfortunate that this came out in any capacity, because you know that the people around her had to obviously sign off and put the cameras in her face, and there was no other way for her to get back on television. That's what she's focused on the entire series, the entire documentary. I want to get back on TV. I want to get back on this is how you got to do it. Unfortunately, we got to show the dark side of what's happened to Wendy Williams and her handlers, and everybody has signed off on this. And then her son is trying to take the high road. Did y'all know he's the executive producer of this documentary?
Yep, I was going to get to
So that just kind of shows that even the people that's supposed to be in her corner, the people that's supposed to be on her side, are still profiting off her, even in her in this a terrible state that she's in. They don't have any other outlets other than exploiting their mom, their auntie, their family member, their client. And it's just once again, sad. It's just sad. And because she really can't, she's not in the right mind to control her situation. And she's showing her her foot, the elephant hooves in the camera. And she's trying to get sympathy. People, you know, she's known for being real, but that's a little bit too real, Wendy. People don't want to see all that in the camera. So I'm gonna throw it to Matt, man, because I'm trying to get my thoughts together. This is a very jarring documentary, very jarring. But I couldn't keep my eyes off it.
No, yeah, just some a few points you definitely want to point out. Like as you mentioned, obviously with my son being an executive producer, you know, there were obviously some comments and things that were mentioned. I tell her publicist she should get liposuction. Her son pretty much alluded to the fact that this dementia was alcohol induced. They even mentioned that there were points where she kind of was losing her mind and didn't even realize her show was canceled. So yeah, and Leboy, to your point, it was like, it's kind of dark to think that, yeah, the entire documentary, which obviously she watched, right? Once upon a time, she had to sit down as executive producer, but then to go back, and unfortunately, because of her debilitating, you know, situation, you know, you probably don't even remember the fact that you sat and watched hours and hours of this footage. So I think just overall, some of this realistically, no matter what, shouldn't come out. And they actually did try to sue the next thing I was going to get to. But apparently, because of the guardianship not being in place of someone who's in her family, despite them saying they can take care of it, you know, they allowed this to come out. But, you know, like I said, the whole thing is sad. And like Jamal said, you can't control how people respond. But it's like, let's be real. At some point, it's like, I'm not saying anything she did was always the right thing. Because, yeah, I know she probably said some super foul shit. You know what I mean? About different people. I remember even met them. I don't want to get to the situation. But something, you know, regarding his, you know, people and whatnot that he didn't appreciate in recent years. But, you know, you don't wish nothing like this on nobody.
Oh, no, bro. But, man, they got people, man. First of all, Lifetime don't give a fuck. They clearly don't, bro. And as fucked up as this sounds, they got people who do this shit like their own people. They got people who say, I don't give a fuck. They got people out there like that, bro. I don't give a fuck. That's good for us. They got people thinking like they're towards Wendy. And I'm not saying it's right, but you can't get, you can't respond how people, you can't control how people respond, bro. And just because, and I hate when they, she's a black woman, and bro, we get all that, bro. But you, everybody got different emotions, bro. Trigger points. She may have ruined some lives, some marriages. Mm-hmm. So you can't get mad at certain people for feeling that way towards her. She refused to say Charlamagne's name for the past 15 years, bro. And Charlamagne showing grace. He ain't hating at all. I'm just saying, like, she is just, you can't control.
As many people that are praying for her, I think there were as many people just praying for her downfall for all them years. Like, right. them prayers is canceling each other out, and then we just get reality. And then as far as the alcoholism, you know, I know people that have battled alcoholism, including myself and my close friends. And so I just want to say that shit is real. And so, you know, there's a point where she literally can't control themselves. And it's just unfortunate that no one is actually, well, we've seen the brother Will, the manager. He looks like he's in her corner. Obviously, her son looks like he wants to keep her off the bottle and keep her on the up and up. But at the same time, he's trying to force her into a podcast. No one, look how the hell she look, man. Look what the type of questions and the state of mind that she's in. How are you trying to get her to work in any capacity? She should have been in some type of a facility to get her the correct help. Her son seems like he had a good head on his shoulders, but then I learned he's the executive producer. So to put her out there like that, it just shows that there's that he really doesn't care for her too as much as he's saying. There's a disconnect there. And so, you know, I'm praying for that. She can get her health in order, get her addiction straight. I am seeing that there's news that she is doing better. I think she's out and down in Miami. Obviously, this was shot a little while ago. But overall,
I heard what she has just going to, like, progressively get worse over time.
Yeah, dementia, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think dementia, there ain't no cure for that one. Once her memory is gone, you can see it in her eyes. Literally, you can see her all in her eyes, bulging out her head. That she ain't all there. So, you know. Power to just pray for that she could go out gracefully. You know, she's in her she's an elder damn near. She's in her older stages of life. And you know, unfortunately, it looked like she don't got much longer left. Hopefully that she could just get some praise and get some you know, some respect for the good things that she did do and go out like a soldier.
I knew something was wrong when she passed out. Remember when she passed out on her show?
Hell yeah.
And that shit was live. I was like, yo, what the fuck? For some reason, I was watching that day. And I was like, yo, what the fuck did I just watch? Like,
I was laughing. I thought it was, I mean, I didn't know what was going on. Yeah, but she shook her head.
Man, they got
she had a little Harlem shaking, and what and she was in the
she had a hair like this when she
and she was in the she was in that Statue of Liberty costume too, doing Harlem.
Man, really?
Cocaine, she said she was doing. It's like I don't know about y'all. That's not me, but I feel like even when I hear people online talking about, like, "Yeah, man, you do this much coke, you know, yeah, your nose fall off." I'm like, I believe it.
Man, real quick before we move on, like they had this professional wrestler named New Jack. He passed away a couple years ago, RIP to him. He used to follow the page. It was crazy. But this professional wrestler named New Jack, he wrestled for all kinds of companies, ECW. He would, like, literally really try to hurt people in the ring. Like, he stabbed me. He stabbed my wrestler with a ice pick. He threw him off scaffolds 40, 60 feet. So, and when you ask him about it, up until a couple years ago when he died, he still don't give a fuck. He ain't got no remorse. No, nothing. I don't give a fuck. I don't care. That's how he thought till the day he died. So when he died, it was so many people shitting on New Jack. And I like New Jack. I'm a fan of New Jack. So, but I couldn't really say much. Because when the shit he did when he was a professional wrestler, the people he hurt, and he had zero to no remorse. So it's just, it, you got those people like, man, fuck that. I don't give a fuck about what happened to him. You know what I'm saying? It just, you gotta, it, you ain't gotta like it, but it, hey, bro. It,
you gotta respect it. Yeah.
You gotta You gotta
respect. Shoes on the other foot. Like, if the shoe was on the other foot, how would you feel? Like, I don't hold resentment like that. So if someone, you know, like I said, even though I said I was laughing at Wendy that day, it's just because of the optics. It wasn't because I think she deserves it or you know, I think karma's a bitch or anything like that. But I do respect, I respect both sides. That's what it really is. I respect the people that have their feelings, and then I respect the people that you know, put everything on the line to have a successful career and don't care who they got to step on to do so. So you just got to live with the results at the end.
Yeah, man. Prayers to everybody. We all going to die one day. I always remember that, y'all. So, yeah, she just, if something happened to Wendy, that's cool. Her time was just before yours. But one day, your time going to come. So, it's no point of trolling or being happy. Bitch, you going to die too. So, whatever it is, what it is. Don't do that.
Straight like that, fellas. Yeah, no, definitely, y'all. But yeah, like I said, prayers to Wendy Williams. But I'm moving on to somebody else who's made their imprint on the industry, and this move may be something as well. Tyler Perry. Now, Tyler Perry, as y'all know, Mea Culpa, I believe is the name of the movie, recently released, and it had mixed reviews with a lot of people feeling that the movie wasn't good. But right before that, an AI technology and open software known as Sora was shown to Tyler Perry, and he pretty much hit the pause button on an $800 million project that was supposed to bring multiple studios and things of that nature because, quote, according to him, they're making it to the point where you won't even have to go to different locations on set, whatnot. And he said he's even used it himself in two upcoming movies, so he didn't have to sit in the makeup chair. So, fellas, what do you think about the fact that AI technology essentially has capabilities to make movies on its own? And two, what does that mean, you know, somebody in the industry like you, Lebo, who has, you know, done different productions and whatnot for years?
I mean, I think we've seen this coming. We've seen this a long time coming. The big reason why the strike had taken place as well, because, you know, the AI stuff that they're going to be doing with video games and being able to reproduce voiceovers. So I think it's a natural progression of AI, and also smart for someone like Tyler Perry to pull back production and construction on his facility there, because there's no need for a physical space. There is no need to have physical spaces in this game anymore. When you could literally just have a studio and a green screen, and they've already been doing that stuff for years, but now they don't even damn near need the green screen. They barely even need actors. And so it's just a point where you got to evolve with the times, and this definitely goes for the actors. You guys need to start utilizing this AI technology. Hopefully you can use your face and put a superhero costume on and make a whole movie from the house right there on your phone, because that's where things are going. Go ahead and make you a little short film, because people barely even have the patience to watch long movies and series and TV shows anyway. So just start making your own content. Fall in line. Don't fight it, because you ain't going to win. Go ahead, tell it. Look, ChatGPT, write you up a script. He write me up everything, right? And whenever I need an email or need to holler at somebody, or I'm using ChatGPT. So I just think, in general, it's just time for us to embrace it and get the most out of it. Don't fight it, because you ain't going to win.
Man, you read my mind, boy, man. I can't talk shit about AI. Because, of course, our podcast artwork is AI. I'm one of those too, bro. I'm not fighting against it. I'm going to go with it. I'm going to go with the flow, bro. Because I'm pretty sure in the 80s, people were saying the same shit about the internet. Like, what the fuck is the internet? That ain't going to work. That ain't going to last. That shit evil. And it may be true. You know what I'm saying? But, hey, bro, I can't control it. This is what's happening right now, bro. You might as well go with the flow, because if fighting against it ain't going to do nothing but make shit harder for you. And use it to your advantage, bro. Like he said, AI done made my life easier a little bit. I'm not even going to lie. It's honestly, will it be the end of mankind? Probably so. You know what I'm saying?
That's dark as
hell. Hey, bro. But hopefully we not here when it happens.
Hopefully, yeah.
But I'm the type of person, bro, like I said, bro, hey, man, it got to end some way. It got to end some way, bro. And I always was one of those people who believed that we are going to end us, meaning human beings are going to be the reason why human beings don't exist anymore. The Terminator movies be trying to tell y'all all the time. The Terminator movies, Jurassic Park, like, what motherfuckers sitting around one day and be like, man, you know what would be dope, dog? And we bring the fucking dinosaurs back. That's awesome, right? Like, who? So, bro, movies been telling us for the longest, bro. We are too smart for our own good. We are going to destroy us. So I'm not mad about it. I don't got no attitude about it. I just accept it and roll with it. But when it's time, be like, well, Madly boy, yo.
Yeah.
If it's the other side, I hope to see y'all there. You, yeah. You know what I'm saying? If not, man, hey, man, it's been a hell of a ride, bro.
Nah, yeah, I agree. I think y'all right, right? And I'm going to be honest with you. I was definitely one of those people where even with the internet, I always thought, well, damn, yeah, of course, you know, there's always great things that come with the internet, but it's like, are the cons, you know, outweighing the pros? And honestly, I agree. I think in time, we'll realize that AI was definitely more, you know, way worse than the good thing that's going to come out of it. But for the time being, like you said, I feel like to fight against a system like that, you know, it'd be kind of like fighting taxes. Like, I'm sure there's people, man, we shouldn't be taxed for nothing. Like on some Orlando Brown, they're charging us for grapes. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, you can say that, but you're going to be the only person. If you don't pay tax, you're going to be in prison. And somebody's going to be taking your belongings.
Hey, man, I remember, I don't know if y'all remember the Keenan and Kel movie, Two Heads Are Better Than None. And nigga, Keenan was complaining about something, crying, and Kel told him, well, yeah, what are you going to do about it? And Keenan was like, nothing, I guess. Yeah, exactly, nigga. So you can cry. Like you said, you cry about sex all you want. You ain't going to do shit about it. So,
yeah, and then another part of it, I'm about to say, going to the Leboys point, yeah, if there's no point, you know, with certain things, I feel like it's time, you know, just in general, people to get real serious about certain jobs and think to yourself, okay, now we see AI's here, like, bro's on like level 5 now. What can he realistically replace? Because if your job is gone, it is what it is. And I hate it because it seems like creatively, yeah, we the first ones kind of, you know, on the front line of this war, if you will. But, like I said, it's the reality. And if you learn how to use it, like you said, Tyler Perry, he was like, I don't even want to sit in a makeup chair, so I'm using AI. Just to really put it in your perspective, right. This is a billionaire who just paused a $100 million project and was like, I'm using their systems. I'm not putting up my own money. It's telling
me. Man, how long has self-checkout been around?
About 10
years.
Yeah.
Over, about 15, huh?
Yeah, about 10, 15. Right?
Hey, you were I wasn't shopping like that 15 years ago, probably. So that's fair. You know what I mean?
Bro. It's they play in our face all the time. I mean, you ever been in Walmart and see the little machine going around by itself cleaning the floors?
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, bro. Just and people think it's so dope. They somebody put a teddy bear in a chair. Did y'all see the movie Megan?
I did. Oh, yeah. I seen Megan. Man, that's my movie, man.
That shit, bro. What?
You ain't seen Megan, Matt? You gotta see Megan, gotta man. That's it, a good bro.
My list, fellas. I my fault, Madrigan.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, no, bro, Megan, Megan's what's up. And y'all gotta watch Creator with John David Washington.
You haven't seen about that one. That one is already on my list, Creator.
I'm gonna watch that.
Watch that one. That one's hella good. Definitely, you know, it's a AI and human love story, and so it's a whole thing predicting what could happen about 100 years from now. And yeah, the thing is, back in the day, it seemed like these years was so far in the future. Now they're saying about 30 years, life going to end. Like, goddamn, do y'all believe that life is going to end in the hands of AI? Do y'all think that's our demise?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not there yet.
It ain't just AI, right? It's going down. The value of different things now is not what it once was. The stability, the balance, the powers that, you know, kept things, we all over. The Rothschild brother just died. It's like, y'all ran out of money for hearts. Like, you know it's bad when that family ain't got it to keep pumping new blood, or he couldn't get a baby, you know what I mean? And he was like, nah. He clocked out at 87, which is young for that family, because they literally lived to like 104. I don't know how they do it. You know, I need to be having
colds. If AI take us out before you take me out, but like, hey man, we went on a run, ain't it?
y'all ain't gonna get the Neuralink transfer and just get a new body, or y'all down for that?
Fuck, I would.
Yep. Go ahead, I mean, keep me bro, here.
Don't, I mean, don't
are you want to move on? Or you gonna stay? You gonna stay, Jamar?
You gonna let them put a chip in your brain?
I mean, bro, I think that's gonna be to a point where it's not gonna be a choice either. At first, it's gonna, you know, when they first make something, it's always a choice first. Then eventually, it ain't gonna be no choice. Nigga, lay your ass on this fucking table, my dude.
How many surgeries have you in life?
None.
Gotcha. I've had about 10. I wish the hell I would get brain surgery on top of all of this. Are you crazy?
I feel, man. But Matt, what if they come up to you and tell you, man, hey, run that shit?
Y'all gonna get to see my best moves. It's not happening. You gonna have to kill me. It's not happening. You're not just doing brain surgery willingly. It's out. It's out of the question. I love what y'all doing here, but for me,
man, I get it, bro. But like I said, AI, I think.
Hey,
AI,
just accept it. Hey, just accept it, Matt. Look, they come to you. Just be happy you was in the first wave. Yeah, give me that. That Terminator, that T1. Y'all got the T2? Hell yeah, shoot me that T2000.
That's crazy. Bro. Can you imagine they really pull up on you? Like, yeah, you got to get the update. What?
Terminator 2, man, that nigga was made of liquid. Y'all remember that shit?
Hell yeah.
I was like, oh, man. Look, bro, I don't want no problems. Look, but I'll help you.
Ain't it crazy, though, how close we're getting to these movies? Like, shit like this has actually taken place now. And, in fact, it might be already taking place. We just don't know. They ain't going to expose it like that. And in a lot of ways, they are putting it out there. Didn't they have a fan? Was it at the Super Bowl? Not this past year, last year. Didn't they have some AI fans that was sitting there or something?
Oh, looking weird as fuck.
Yeah, that was wild.
I just gotta watch The Simpsons still, you know what I'm saying, to keep stay up to date. The Simpsons,
I'll
let you know.
Yeah, man.
They
had them Apple goggles in there. Y'all seen that?
I got a pair of them.
You got some?
Yeah,
they
man.
Had them goggles in The Simpsons. I'm waiting to get mine too. I'm gonna say
it was funny though, and they're walking in the sewers and all that. It ain't that bad. You can really see, but it's just funny, you know what I mean, the way they parodied it.
Mm. But and all jokes aside, man, and all decisions, dog, we screwed. We lied to what they accepted, bro. I'm the type of person, bro, I just think stuff easier if you just don't fight it, bro. If the nigga got you at gunpoint, give me wallet. Just give me wallet, son. Just give me wallet. Don't fight it. Don't fight it, bro. It's too powerful. Oh, yeah, bro.
Live another, what do you say? Live to fight another day.
You right about the wallet, about the brain. I don't know. I might have to get
it. Man, I'm telling you, man, you ain't going to have much of a
live to fight another day, man.
Man, that Terminator nigga will pick you up with one finger, my nigga. Man, get it. Huh?
You're going to have to take my hat off first.
Man, he's going to take off more than that.
If I could just figure out AI to do some day trading, you know what I'm saying, to give me some predictions, and then we could have this on autopilot, I'm good with AI. You know what I'm saying? People using it to their advantage and having switching up these accounts and they just making auto moves. Those are the people that's winning right now. I just feel bad for the people that invested the last 5 years. They said coding gonna take over. Everybody NFTs. That learned the code, they good. And that shit is good. Swooped up by the AI so quick. Screenwriters, obviously, anybody that's trying to write anything, there's no need. If you're a copy editor, oh damn, that you fucked up right now. So I'm just, you know, I feel bad for certain people that have chosen certain careers, myself in jeopardy. I'm in sales, so I'm a little bit more person to person, but I can't shoot out emails like a damn AI. So, you know, we all in jeopardy. Just accept it and figure out your lane, man.
Yeah, that's man. It. And I'm going to be watching from behind the wall, rooting for you, bro. Man, that Terminator gonna throw your ass 100 feet. I'm like, man, no, bro, just give it to him.
No, I'm Matt no more. They gonna have you programmed to do the Macarena on repeat or something.
Yeah, bro, nah, son, don't fight.
Macarena? Look at the Macarena bot.
That nigga on the Schwarzenegger say, man, hey, your bike, your jacket, yeah. And them shades, I need that. That man say, what? What you say to me, motherfucker? Man, bro, get a nigga.
Gen 1, oh, Gen 2 come around. I might be there, but I can't get the first round. I need to be in the back two, at least.
Say less, man.
Ah, man, but speaking of, fellas, Batches, moving on to Young Jeezy's Tiny Desk, and by Batches, I mean this batch of fans, because that was the big thing online. Obviously, Young Jeezy, he went on to, you know, a bunch of hits as well, from Let's Get It. You had Standing Ovation, you had Bottom of the Map, and people pretty much said that the crowd was lukewarm. Some people said that the crowd was terrible, and they didn't feel that they really understood the culture. Obviously, he had on the very, very popular, I don't know if you want to say worldwide, the Snowman shirt. But fellas, considering all the Tiny Desks we've seen recently and the reaction that y'all saw online, I know y'all both got a chance to see it. What did you think overall? And do you think this was good for Jeezy as far as that platform? Because that was another thing some people argue.
I don't think Tiny Desk need fans. Mm. Like, I feel like Versus needed it. And for I ain't going to say Versus needed it, but it made Versus a little better. I was cool with the Versus not having fans either. I don't think Tiny Desk need fans. That's not the vibe. The Tiny Desk is a vibe. It's like, man, Lee Boy, y'all artists, y'all have y'all invite some close friends, some close producers, some close homies, about 15, 20 of them, and we just vibing. You don't need a crowd, but you gonna invite the people you know for a fact gonna vibe to it. It was at Howard University.
Yeah, I believe this is at Howard University. I didn't even actually realize that because he said it in this Tiny Desk. He was like, "Come on, Howard! Like, come on, Howard!
Right? Yeah,
look for your boy." I didn't even know it was up there. Y'all know I went to Howard for about a year. I only lasted a year, partying my way right on out. But yeah, this is a Howard University.
But bro, when Jeezy's first album came out, man, these kids were just literally just being born, literally. Just being born. Why would you have some Howard University kids at a Young Jeezy Tiny Desk? And he did forget some of the words, but we would have forgave him.
We wouldn't have cared.
That's what I'm saying. If you want to invite some people, invite us, people like us and older who go vibe to this shit. Not no fucking kids. I think that's what messed it up. I don't really, I fuck with Jeezy. Jeezy's one of my favorite rappers, man. I think that wasn't fair to do to him. I don't think Tiny Desk needed him. A crowd, honestly.
And if they are, make sure you got a couple super fans there, just out of respect. You know what I'm saying? Even if you got to quiz them, or you got to make sure that your radio staff has been listening to the album all week. You got to get his track list, whatever it take. Make sure it's right, because Jeezy, I look at it as disrespect when you say these are more than words. This is more than rap. This is the streets. I am the trap. And y'all don't say standing ovation.
Hold on.
Y'all said these are more. What they say? I am the trap. They said they repeated. I am the trap.
Hold on, real quick,
y'all. I don't know if this breaking news or not. Cam and Mace bought 1/3 of Jay-Z's Reasonable Doubt album.
That is breaking news. They just bought on the same Dash's piece.
Oh, they flipping their little check. They flipped that podcast.
That's petty,
check.
Bro. That's so petty. That's petty, and I love it.
That's dope, because, you know, well, it seemed like Dame Dash could have probably used the cash and them his Harlem brothers and everything. So, yeah, now they got a whole stock. And I bet you he still kept a little piece.
So, Jay-Z, Mace, and Cameron are now business partners.
There you go. He can't perform none of his shit. Dude, he gonna just X that whole album out for sure.
Let it go, dog.
I mean, that's part of Jeezy's legacy is his relationship with Jay-Z. And so for them not to treat him like the legend that he is and come up with some people, some real fans that knew each and every word, because that Thug Motivation 101 album, it is something special about it. Now, it is easy though to mismatch the lyrics of that album, because literally he raps almost the same the whole, like, you could go right into a different song on accident if you're not paying attention. And then Jeezy, he messed up a lot of the lyrics too. Not messed it up, but he thought that they was going to chime in. And I felt like maybe he went off on a different song. I'm not sure there. But I think overall, it just wasn't the best showing for Jeezy. It looked like he was kind of begging for the crowd to be involved and get some affection. And like, come on, y'all. Like, this book, like, they just seem ill-prepared for the whole moment, including Jeezy himself. And he just didn't do what who just went up there? Scarface did. Went up there. Yeah. And he, I heard he's doing a whole tour now. He's going to be doing a whole, like, basically unplugged type tour based on his appearance right here. And with Jeezy's voice and the, now the music sounded dope. Them replaying his tracks, I felt like he should have had that same opportunity just off his voice and the strength of his music. But nah, it ain't turn out like that for your boy Young Jizzle from the bottom of the middle.
Yeah, I just agree to your point. I feel like yeah, with Scarface, they're going back, and that's dope because I didn't know he ended up, you know, launching a tour for this. I feel like sometimes you kind of got to be your energy, and by that I mean like, yeah, like Jadakiss, for instance, he's one of those people. Yeah, he's rapped about it saying, yeah, "I'm my own fan," but yeah, people who've been in this concert, you forget very quickly that the rest of the locks is about to come out here because he's just like he's. But then I feel like yeah, that's what a lot of these people kind of need to do. And in Jeezy's case. Like Jamal said, yeah, the crowd was all wrong. And once you realize that, I feel like now the crowd participation, or at least the expectations you have for it, you should have dropped those dramatically.
Yeah, yeah, throw that shit out the window. Yeah, like you got to finish your own lyrics now, sir. You can't.
You would have finished the lyrics. We would have been the turn energy if it's an older crowd. But with that, yeah, I feel like Mr. Mark. But, you know, to me, I feel like NPR might not even really be it for Young Jeezy. As much as I love Jeezy and I've seen other rappers go on there, like even Young Thug. I remember when he went on there, I was kind of like, be honest, this was kind of confusing. And I love Thug, but it's just like the type of music he has, even sometimes, like it's almost like, and I know, you know, I've seen, like, imagine a white person reading Young Jeezy lyrics off Genius to you, like in front of you, you know what I mean? Like an old white guy, a woman, you know what I mean? That's how I feel sometimes when they come on this platform. It's like, some people it works, it's, you know, smash hit. Others,
I thought it could have been though. I think, I know it could have been better.
Could have been better. It wasn't terrible, neither. I want to disclaim, it wasn't terrible. It was good.
It just wasn't up to Jeezy standards, and we know how he performs. When his songs, when them tracks drop in the club or a performance, that shit is crazy. And it just wasn't given. It wasn't given that for sure. But I could get with what you're saying as far as he may not be the type of artist to do this, like. You know, it might not go over so well, and his lyrics are pretty basic, so you're not gonna be like, "Oh my god, that was crazy." But I have to say, I just like Jeezy. I just a personal fan. I listen to Thug Motivation every time my spirits just get a little down, or I need a little hustle motivation. About every 3 months, I'm popping that shit in for a couple of days, and it go crazy for me. So, it, you know, just disappointed in the crowd, just disappointed.
Man, that's, yeah, they fucking babies.
Fuck, man. Right, Jeezy was probably when I was at Howard in like 04. What year did Thug Motivation was about 05, right?
05, some of 05. I remember that. Like, and he was everywhere. That's the that's the song with Manny Fresh, that Soul Survivor, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when he was running around with BMF, I believe, as well. Yeah,
That Can't Band a Snowman mixtape, bitch, I'm back. Ooh, I was like, number two, whatever number two was, that shit was crazy.
I got suspended from wearing a snowman shirt to school.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah, my God. He was definitely that age. I remember, yeah, a few of the homies, you're a little older than me, but yeah, your age, Jamal, they definitely suspended, to take it off different cities. Even as I got older and got to college, I was meeting a bunch of people once upon a time.
How you get split? Well, Matt, how you get suspended for wearing a shirt with a snowman on?
Because they know that.
No, that's the strength of Jeezy, man. And yeah. Oh, and that, remember that you dig was on that camp, yeah. Camp Bandersnap? Yeah. Ooh, that shit was rocking. Hey, come on, I thought he was from the A for real.
Hey, listen, did you remember that video with Hulk Hogan where he kept replaying? So they knew what was going on. That's exactly why you couldn't wear it. They was like, no. We listen to this when we go home. Bucko, you're not going to do this during school hours. Take that off, like.
Man, it's a fucking snowman.
24s, you
did. That shit was crazy.
Hey, all right, look, before we move on, and we talking about 05, Jeezy or Gucci, boy? Which one y'all rolling with?
I'm Jeezy. I like Gucci, but if I had to choose, I'm definitely going Jeezy all the way. During the verses, I kept commenting in the verses, Big Snow. So...
you in the comments? Oh, I'm gonna have to go watch that. Look at you.
And what was funny about Jeezy and Gucci versus every time Jeezy performed the song, you hear nigga in the verses in the background saying, "Catch up, nigga." He was talking to Gucci. Yeah, catch up, nigga. Every time Jeezy. Nah, so but yeah, I fuck with Guap, but it's Jeezy team. I'm team Jeezy all the way.
I fuck with Jeezy, and I like Guwah. Guwah got he just got a couple cold songs that's going that's crazy, but the catalog of Jeezy, his albums, and the way he could put together an entire project, I don't think it's a close comparison, personally.
Yeah, actually, if you put on a random album, you know, of all their different just hits, there's a better chance I'm gonna be like, keep the Jeezy one on, because it's like you said, Gucci. I feel like it'd be cult classics, but definitely either way, yeah. Shout out to Jeezy. Hopefully he does it again. You know, maybe it's better. Second go around. Maybe he goes to another platform.
There you go.
But yeah, fellas, moving on and keeping it with artists, we're going to move on to Kanye, the man, the myth, the legend. Kanye pretty much called out Adidas. He said that Adidas is selling fake Yeezys, and he also mentioned that they are suing him for $250 million. So, fellas, I know that y'all got a chance to now see these gray, with basically Yeezy 350s without the supply and 350 on them. Number one, what do you think of the shoe? And number two, what do you think about Adidas? Do you feel like it's right for them to sell these? And business aside, because we understand, you know, there's some paperwork we may not. But do you feel from a moral standpoint this is still okay?
Man, they were a funny moral.
And man, I mean, and they said they would never do business. They cut ties with Kanye. They could never. They going, but then it was like, okay, we're going to sell off the inventory. We got all this inventory. We got to sell that off. But other than that, you know, we ain't going to never do business with them. And then, you know, nobody's rocking Adidas right now. Like, I was for a couple months, or I would say actually a couple years, I had some Yeezys. I had actually dropped the Nike. What he said, he jumped over Jordan and all this. I was fucking with Yeezy, man. At least it was close. At least it was a fight. And then the clothes they was coming out, they had the, you know, the little muted, I would say what, homeless gear and all this shit was looking kind of fly. He had all that shit. And, you know, people looking at it, and it was actually in style. And now they just back to biting. They didn't brought back Kobe shit. You know what I'm saying? little fake Kobe's. They got the fake Kanye's. And Adidas, y'all just got to stand on business. Y'all got to get, you know, stick with your word, man. If you say you ain't going to do it, don't do it. Because right now you're just looking like hypocrites. And it's just, you're probably going to get a worse result than just bringing out something else. Like, just pump them Hardens out. Just, why don't you get my
hands? Fuck like, no, don't pump them ugly ass shoes out, dog.
I just think it's gonna come back to buy them. I don't think nobody's gonna buy them. And even if they do, it's not gonna bring y'all back. Y'all need to go ahead and just reinvent yourselves again. Go ahead and sign a bigger act. It ain't Harden. Yeah, I agree with you. It ain't Harden. But I think this is just a bad move trying to reinvent.
Man, I remember when the Clippers first traded Blake Griffin, right? And Blake to the Pistons. And Blake Griffin was so upset. Oh, he said he wasn't going to trade me. He lied. Nigga, of course he lied, nigga. That's his job, is to lie to you. Yeezy. Of course Adidas lied, my nigga. That's what companies like that do, lie. Why are you so surprised and upset? It's your product, yeah, but you don't own it. And it's not fake Yeezys, because Yeezys is Adidas and it's being dropped by Adidas. That's not fake Adidas. That's not fake Yeezys. That's Yeezys. They own it, bro.
I do agree with you. I think he is being a little childish, a little babyish when he was mad that they were making, because even when he was there at Adidas, a lot of this started because they made it other shoes that looked like Yeezys. They made a couple flip-flops and a couple, like, soft shoes that looked like Yeezy, and then he just blew up and told them to take it down. Like, I'll tell Adidas to take something down. And you already making your $8 billion. You can't let them get a couple crumbs on the side off you. I mean, to me, flattery, that's just a form of flattery. They are definitely showing that you have a great product out there, and there's going to be imitations, whether they come from Adidas or from other companies. So they, right. You know what it is, they got to eat on the imitations, because the other companies, Nike, you know, they had what was them damn shoes, man, that was kind of like Yeezy's little fake Nike soft. There was them soft.
I know, Nike. I remember which one you were talking about. Yeah,
say it again.
The Roche runs.
Yeah, the little Roche runs, yeah, and shit.
Talking about.
So they seen that there was a market out there for similar to Yeezys, because ain't nobody can, a lot of people could not afford the $350 price point. So they gonna come out with $100 joints. Let them rock, man. I think he really blew it all out of proportion and messed up something that didn't need to be messed up. And the whole anti-Semitic thing is just to get out of this contract. I don't think he meant a word of it. And he was just having an episode. And he didn't messed up a whole lot of shit that didn't need to be messed up. He messed up the business, man.
Man, Kanye always doing that. Boy, I spent $20 on them fucking pies and wore them one day and threw them bitches away. Then you gonna change the price of $20. I feel so fucking played.
I owe him money. I was gonna get to that because that is crazy. The way he did that, especially, I know a lot of people now that low key was pissed. They were like,
I seen him for like $80,000 on, you know, one of them. I swear. On one of them resale sites. On one of them stock X's on one of them. I see 180,000. And this was before they was out at all to the public. Somebody had a pair. Somebody got swindled. They pissed right now because they still a dub.
Nah, Jamal, I'll get two of those chips before I pay $80,000 for them pods, just to put it in perspective. That is insane. Like my main thing going back to the sneakers is, like y'all said, Kanye, you know what I mean? The contracts are the contracts. And realistically, creative, you're already creative enough because I'm sure you had a big part of all your sneakers with Nike. And it's like, go do something else. Because realistically, if you create something else, people will buy it. People still, you know, Kanye still has a pulse on the culture. And people always say, oh, he's anti-Semitic. He's this. I ain't going to hold you. He might be tricking y'all. He might be that. He might be special needs. He might be whatever he want to be for the day. Because I know from some people from therapy, they say that you could do that. Like, you know what I mean? You could be who you want. That's what they tell you. So, you know what I mean?
Like, stop expecting people to do the right thing, man.
Yep. It's too much money. It's too much money motivation on the table, man. They ain't gonna just play ball correctly. They gonna try to get some of these balls. It's called the strikes, man. They gonna take your design, bro. It's gonna happen whether it's Adidas or another company. I mean, he was mad at China for reselling it. Man, just keep moving forward, coming out with a new design and stop. Oh, I wish I could just get in it. He ain't gonna listen to me. You can have the good, all the best advice.
You don't
know
how to answer.
And Sway was telling him to start his own company. Look what he doing now, started his own damn company.
Oh, yeah. The Instagram Yeezy popped up on my timeline. Like, I followed it,
Oh, brand. Yeah, no, they boom. He actually put in some money behind the marketing dollar because it's popping up as promotions now. The whole Yeezy brand.
As sponsors, I clicked on. I was like, what is this?
Sponsored.
Let me follow.
Smart
man. Kind of crazy, but smart.
He could have been doing this shit. I swear. Nigga, this is how Instagram. What the fuck? You Yeezy, bro. And he was smart to buy that damn Yeezy ad at the Super Bowl. And they only spent, what, $20 on the actual commercial, $7 million to get it promoted. I think he's making some smart moves right now. Just don't go the Soulja Boy route, man. Make sure you ship out all the shipments, all the orders. Make sure they go. I haven't really seen too many people saying they got their order. I don't know.
And I just want to throw out the Soulja Boy part. Yeah, y'all knew what y'all was getting into. Soulja Boy was selling y'all a preloaded drink with all the game. Damn well, they ain't dropped that in no store. So you got. It is what it is.
Soulja Gang. Shout out to Soulja. I think I bought one of those, bro. Kids, I think I never got it. I'm pretty sure I bought one.
It's one of those, like Jamal said earlier, your allegiance to losers, you know? Yeah, I don't.
I like you.
Hey, I rock with Soulja, man. Rock with Soulja.
Oh, man.
Loser or not, man. Yeah.
But yeah, fellas. Taking it home, we're going to dive into some TV. Obviously, we have all for years fell in love with a lot of our favorite nostalgic shows, whether it was Black, White, Chinese, Puerto Rican, or trans. I'm just joking. That's new. But with that being said, fellas, which nostalgic sitcom would you say most closely, would you say resembled your childhood?
Ooh, I mean, so I would say, you know, I would have loved for it to be Fresh Prince. Obviously, I didn't grow up in Bel Air, but I was driving by. I was like, I remember. Yeah, I remember that from the show. You know, I would say for me, Family Matters, there was the auntie and what is her little son? Was it little Gary?
He had the hair.
Yeah. That was me. Was that Gary O'Gray, the actor? Is that him?
I don't know. No, that's what's his name? He played a young and the restless.
I can't think of his name though, but yes, that was him.
I can't really think, yeah.
Was it okay? But nevertheless, that was basically me and my mom. We, you know, my mom was single for a little while. She ended up getting remarried, but you know, we lived with a couple families and we thought, you know, they had a nice, we had a nice middle class environment and everything, but nevertheless, we was, you know, pretty much poor and she never showed me, you know, we felt like we was doing good, but you know, really we was just doing the best we could and had some good influences around us, just like the Winslows, and so that helped me thrive, I guess, in my early life and everything. But if I could point out any family and character, that was me and my mom that was just bouncing around. Like, you can see it now, right, when you look back. But back then, I just thought, you know, we was just doing what people do. But really, it wasn't that stable of an environment. But luckily, we had a good support system, a good community around us. So that would probably be the closest. Now, if I had a who was Urkel? I had to think. I don't know if I knew any Urkels, though. I'm sure it was a couple Urkels around, some weirdo. In fact, there was one kid, Blake. Shout out to Blake. We live with Blake and Rachel, man. If you watching this, hit me up. So hopefully you don't take offense to that. He was a little strange, though, but yeah.
Hey, well, shit. Mine is good times, goddamn.
Oh, man, okay.
Nigga grew up poor, bro. Hey, being poor ain't fun, my nigga. Hey, man, matter of fact, probably not even good time, because good time had a dad.
I swear to God, I didn't say that when I thought about it. Let me not lie.
Nigga, growing up in the projects is not fun, so I would say good time, bro. I guess I'm Lil Michael because I had an older sister, older brother. I had a mom. We grew up in the projects. We grew up poor. Yeah, bro. And like I said, growing up poor is not fun. I strongly wouldn't advise it. I literally lost a friend in elementary school because he found out I lived in the projects. Mm. Dead ass, shallow ass nigga. Look, I bet you ain't shit now, nigga. if you out there.
Wow, in elementary, he was that judgmental then?
I went home crying, bro. I'll never forget that. I ain't never been the same since. Your ass probably clown,
he was clowning too? He was.
Nah, it's not that. It's he found out I was in the project. He's like, man, I can't be friends with you no more. You live in the project. Yeah, fucking loser. You ain't shit, nigga. If you're still out there, you're probably a loser.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so good times. Good times for me, man. Without the dad. So times. You know what you call it? So times.
Decent, little decent times.
Times, nigga.
Halfway good times. Oh, yeah, man.
I look far and wide. My situation, like I said, a little different. So my mother, single mother, it was 5 of us. And then I got a stepfather, and it became 6 of us. They did not have no single mothers on cable. I checked. I looked into some white shows too, and I was like, I don't think they had it. I think that's why when people be like representation, I'm like, what is that? Like, I don't follow. But somebody needs a Tyler Perry or Kenyatta Barrett. Somebody, you need to have a single mother with 5 or 6 kids because I've never seen it. So I would say if you take out the drugs and the sex, kind of like Shameless, but that, you know what I mean. But it's like I really don't know with this one. Shout out to moms though.
Hey, there was Thea. Do you remember Thea?
I was just about to say that.
That's what I was thinking.
That was going to be my second one. If it wasn't good times, it was definitely Thea. Now,
Thea was, I feel like I'm disrespecting the actress. She's a great, great comedic actress. And Brandy was on there. That was her first, like, television stint. And, you just check it out. Just check it out. I think she was a single mother. Not a 5. I think she had 2. But
what's his name from Smart Guy in ATL?
Yes, yeah, let me look up the cast of Thea right now so I can put some respect.
Yeah, Jason Weaver, Brandy, and she had 2 others, a small son and another son, I think.
Okay, so and then the main actress, too. Yeah, her name is Thea, so it was named after her. Some other people that were on there, Wesley Jonathan was on there. Miguel Nunez, his name was Ricky on there. Michelle Thomas was on there, also from
Family Matters.
from Family Matters. Yvette was on my Yvette from Brandy or from Moesha. Lynette Armstrong is the her name on there, her actual name. But yeah, so it was actually a spinoff to Moesha. I think it was, some people say it's like the precursor to Moesha. So interesting. Interesting.
That's pretty close. Yeah, I'm looking at it. Yeah. Shout out to Thea.
Shout out
man,
to
the Cosby, when that Cosby show, I could not relate, even though that Cosby show is a class. It's couldn't relate.
I wish I could. I think that's why, because I understand the humor in there. I'm like, man, especially seeing them in Brooklyn in this nice brownstone. You know what I mean? Like, they getting money. So.
Yeah, all the fucking kids. Now you better get money. And they had them all over the fucking house. I can't do it, bro. But nah, yeah, it definitely, yeah. Now you say it may be Thea, bro. He's either Thea or Good Times or...
You got Times. Lee Boy, what was your...
Times.
I said Family Matters, but specifically the you know, the character, the auntie and right. The little son. So that would have been us. We was just floating around. I was lucky. My mom, I was one of them kids. My mom used to just drop me off everywhere. Like, and I was just kicking it. Had hella babysitters every day. You know, she was working hard. So I was just getting picked up 7 o'clock at night type shit. You know what I'm saying? Going home, going straight to bed. That was my life, man.
I'm trying to think of some 2000 shows. I can't really think of, man. Like, or, yeah, like Matt said, a single mama with kids, bro, that wasn't really on TV. And I don't think we would appreciate it if it was.
Let's put it back on the audience, man. Tell us what did we say 90s or just any sitcom?
Nostalgic
sitcom that parallels your life, your family's life. Your, you know, specific experience. Let us know what really hit home for y'all, because in a lot of ways we was probably escaping from the reality by watching, you know, a Fresh Prince or a goddamn Boy Meets World. Ain't no way we was anything close to Boy Meets World. I was watching that shit. Topanga, I didn't know no Topanga. Definitely not. But you know, these are all shows that definitely, you know, feeding us at the time. So audience, please let us know what show ones you that you loved and where you really saw yourself, you know, that paralleled your life. So dope. Appreciate you.
Hey man, hey, another episode in the bag, fellas. You dig? As always, man, whenever y'all listen to this podcast, whether it be Spotify, Apple, hit the 5-star button, man. 5-star rating, leave a comment, share, tell a friend. That's free. Fellas, tell them all your socials, what you got coming up, all that good stuff.
Hey, follow the SplatCon on Instagram, also SplatCon.com, LeonFryerson.com. We got a date. We got a date that we are going to be announcing probably this week, and we got a location right in LA, the heart of LA, right next to LAX. Looks like it's going to be at the Hilton, y'all. So if you lasted all the way to the end of this episode, you're going to get the news first. Hilton, likely October 19th and 20th. Orange October. We're going to be doing it right before Halloween. So make sure you guys are ready with your costumes, your get ups, and get ready to have some good questions for these cast, man. All that will definitely be featured. And we already said Maya gonna be here. Maya, we had to move out around a date for Maya, so you better be there, girl. Look, this is exclusive for the 80s, 90s, and 2000 vibes listeners. We appreciate y'all for getting all the way to the end. So let's go.
Hey.
Like you said, definitely make sure y'all follow SplatCon. Keep sending in, you know, different acts and whatnot that you want to see there. Follow me as well at Real Matt Corbin on all platforms. I definitely had taken a break this past week, but I promise y'all to get ready for some better content to come. And as usual, please keep tuning in 80s, 90s, 2000s by page for How Did We Miss That every Monday. Dope episode.
Hey, man. As always, follow me on Instagram at Jamar Joseph, Jermaine Adams. If you're sensitive, don't follow me. Nobody got time for that shit. But most importantly, follow us on Instagram at 80s, 90s, 2000s vibes. Same on, subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on TikTok. Follow us on Thread. You dig what I'm saying? We appreciate the love and support. The people who keep coming back and listening to it. This is 80s, 90s, and 2000s vibes for podcast. I am Jamar.
Lee Boy.
Matt Corbin.
And we out.
Peace.
Man, that good time. Wasn't nothing good about that fucking show, bro. Not that I'm fucking thinking about it.
good time.